The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 17th through Sunday, November 23rd, 2025. The commentary for November was written by Bird Treacy, a Christian formation director, godly play trainer, consultant, writer, and cat lady who lives with her wife in Massachusetts. The commentary for Monday, November 17th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Here's the commentary for today. Who is changed by the transfiguration? When Jesus' mortal form is veiled in light, we understand that it is Jesus who is changed, and he certainly is. But what about Peter, James, and John? On this day, when we remember Hugh of Lincoln, this idea that we can be changed by what we witness feels particularly salient. Born around 1135 in England, Hugh's vocational path was oriented to the priesthood early in life, but it was witnessing the lives of monastic communities that transformed him. He looked at the monastery and the monks with awe, like Peter, James, and John looking upon Jesus during the Transfiguration. This witnessing changed Hugh's life. He became a Carthusian monk, and later a bishop known for his compassion and generosity. Who is to say what will change our lives? To you or me, the light of the Transfiguration might have seemed like a ray of sun and a whisper of wind, and the monastery just a building. What matters is that we are willing to be changed. And now I'm going to read from the full Gospel of Mark, chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything you do to others, do it to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And the moving forward question for this Monday, is your heart open to transformation? Pray that it might be a willing vessel. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 18th, the day on which we commemorate Hilda of Whitby. It begins with a passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3a. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals." As a teen, I loved an evangelical Christian radio station. I was raised in a rather middle-of-the-road Lutheran household, and I strongly disagreed with a lot of what was said on the station. But I tuned in for the music. I was particularly drawn to a track by the band Cademan's Call titled This World. This world eschewed the material world and all its temptations, which sounded like a good message to me at that time. But over the years, I've come to realize that the lyrics missed something essential. God's home is among mortals. That is the case not only in Revelation with the new heaven and the new earth, but also right here and now. To set this world aside, as the song would have us do, would be to deny love and care to neighbors and strangers alike. Jesus came to dwell among us in this world because we matter to God. It is our duty to take care of the world and trust it to us through this love. And now I'm going to read this passage from Revelation. It's chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how can you use your material wealth for the good of others? Now the commentary for Wednesday, November 19th, the day on which we commemorate Elizabeth of Hungary. It begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 131. "Open my mouth and pant. I long for your commandments." Personally, I would never describe myself with the words the psalmist uses in today's verses. Even when I was a runner, I wouldn't have wanted anyone to notice my open-mouthed panting, except maybe my coach. Panting is a description that's embarrassing, and in its parallels with dogs, even a little demeaning. But maybe it shouldn't be, at least not at its core. "I open my mouth and pant" might not be the words I would choose to make a vulnerable admission of my desire to follow in God's ways, but ultimately, that's what this statement is. It's okay if panting seems a strange way to put it. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we're called to be fools for Christ. If ever there were a good reason to put our egos on the line, our faith would certainly be it. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 119, verses 121 to 137. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Guarantee your servant's well-being. Do not let the godless oppress me. My eyes fail from watching for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding, so that I may know your decrees. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Truly I love your commandment more than gold, more than fine gold. Truly I direct my steps by all your precepts. I hate every false way. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. With open mouth I pant, because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom toward those who love your name. Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because your law is not kept. You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, when have you been a fool for Christ? Now we turn to the commentary for Thursday, November 20th. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. Before I was a Christian formation professional, I was a doctoral student studying women's and gender studies. It should come as no surprise, then, that when I am tasked with considering the nature of sin, of stumbling blocks, I immediately turn to feminist theologians, particularly Rosemary Radford Ruther. In her classic book, Sexism and God Talk, Ruther offers a vision of sin that focuses on power, ways in which people oppress others from positions of power and use power to exploit people and the natural world. Jesus the King, who came to us as a baby with no wealth or military power, turned power on its head. Woe to the world because of things that cause sin is a caution for us about the often sinful ways of human hierarchies. If we don't want to be pathways for sin, we must be alert to those imbalances and look to topple them. Even using our power for good isn't enough if power isn't the problem. And now I'm going to read from the full Gospel of Matthew here, chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, how can you serve others from a position of humility? Now we turn to the commentary for Friday, November 21st, the day we commemorate Mechtild of Hackeborn and Gertrude the Great. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 18, verse 12b. If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? Sheep aren't very smart. In reflecting on this passage, I talked with my wife, who is a veterinarian, giving her on-the-ground experience with her sheep. I asked her what a shepherd would do if a single sheep out of 100 was lost. She replied, "It depends. Was the sheep a particularly good breeder? Was the shepherd especially emotionally attached to that sheep?" Good questions and relevant to farmers, but thankfully, these aren't the considerations of the Good Shepherd when caring for us, the sheep of his flock. We are, each of us, beloved, and we can be certain that Jesus seeks us out when we are lost and rejoices when we are found. Meanwhile, the veterinary school has a guard llama for the sheep. As for the rest of us, I give thanks for our Good Shepherd. And now I'm going to read from this passage from Matthew today, chapter 18, verses 10 through 20. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen, even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And the moving forward question for today, when you are among the 99 sheep, how can you be the hands and feet of Jesus in searching for the one who is lost? The commentary for Saturday, November 22nd, begins with a passage from Psalm 107, verse 33. The Lord changed rivers into deserts and water springs into thirsty ground. The stories of our faith can help us grapple with a wide range of questions, including existential concerns like the meaning of our lives, the threat of death, and how we contend with freedom or the lack thereof. In recent years, we've been forced to face a new threat, climate disasters. These are the rivers that go dry and the droughts that threaten survival. It raises the question, what is the difference between God's ability to transform the world, as described in the Psalms, and the consequences of our own actions? The full text of Psalm 107 goes on to describe the changes wrought to the natural world as a consequence of wickedness in the land, but it also describes the world's restoration. Certainly God is capable of both, but to truly attend to the precarious state of the environment, we may also have to contend with God's gift of freedom and how we use it. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 107, verses 33 to 43. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste. Because of the wickedness of its inhabitants, he turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry live, and they establish a town to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of distress and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all the wickedness stops its mouth. Let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how are you actively working toward the healing of this earth? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, we'll turn to the commentary for Sunday, November 23rd. It is the last Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 36 and 37. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Today's scripture readings offer a reminder about how little kingship matters. As Jesus hangs on the cross, crowned with thorns, the soldiers think that they are making a mockery of this particular man, but they are mistaken. Despite what they may think, kingship, as the world knows it, isn't marked by palaces and armies or wealth and power. Kingship on earth has never been more than sour wine and twisted brambles, and Jesus has never wanted anything to do with it. Jesus comes to declare a kingdom that Herod and his soldiers cannot fathom. On the day he was born to a young woman and her husband and placed in a feeding trough, Jesus already had more power than any ordinary king. The soldiers can carry on with their barbs. The only thing they'll wound is the fragile status of empire. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus, there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, and they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.